Hi, Robin here with Tributaries. I had an intro written to introduce today's guest, Dr. Ihaleah Kala Hugh Len, PhD, but it didn't work. You see, he's a therapist of renown, especially in regarding the developmentally disabled and criminally mentally ill. But his tool of choice and in life is Ho'oponopono. This is an ancient Hawaiian healing system where there is no need to analyze, solve, manage, or cope with problems. The coping part was trying to interview a man who is there. No, he was here. He's me, he's you, he's divine, he's a guy with a sore elbow, he's absolutely wonderful. So stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Dr. Len, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Would you begin by reciting the piece of I?
Okay. It's called the I Am the I Prayer, so I will say it in Hawaiian. O vau no ki'i, pua mai a mai ka poi loko, a ka mā lama lama, o vau no ka hā, ka mali ola, o vau no ka poho, ke ka ele ma vaho a e no ke a pau. Ka I, ke kino iho na mea pau, ka e au I ku upi o ana anui noe, ma vaho o ana e a ka a pau. Ka ho o mau mau o nama nao, a me na mea pā. O wau no ka ho, a me ka hā, he huna kamakani ne, nahi nahi, ka hua huna o kumalipo, o wau no ka I. That's the prayer in Hawaiian. Do you want me to translate it into English?
Sure, that would be wonderful.
I am the I come forth from the void into light. I am the breath that nurtures life. I am that emptiness, that hollowness beyond all consciousness, the I, the id, the all. I draw my bow of rainbows across the waters, the continuum of minds with matters. I am the incoming and the outgoing of breath, the invisible, untouchable breeze, the undefinable atom of creation. I am the I. That's it.
That's it. It's an ancient piece, isn't it?
It's a what?
Is it an ancient piece?
Yes.
It's quantum physics.
Well, what it does, it's the prayer itself is a petition to the divinity in oneself, and it's saying to the divinity, I'm sorry, please forgive me for whatever is going on in me that I experience the world in a certain way, and if I'm experiencing pain or judgment, and I can be experiencing pain and not know it, then this prayer and many other processes are used to cancel memory so that we can get back to zero, which is the image of God. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's certainly in that dis-ease, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or spirit, that there is something going on that's creating a separation.
For the Hawaiians, it's more for us more a displacement. So when you, Robin, were created, divinity created you in its exact likeness, which is void and infinite. In other words, when you're at zero, there are no problems, no thinking, no coping and managing. So when something comes up, it's a memory replaying a past experience of hurt, and that displaces zero, and so you're stuck. And the idea of being unstuck is to petition this Ho'oponopono, is repentance, forgiveness, and transmutation. It petitions divinity to erase the memory so that the zero and the infinite can be restored in you. Yeah.
It seems that a woman named Morna, who was actually considered a living treasure in Hawaii during her lifetime, revitalized Ho'oponopono. And I'm wondering if you can share some about this and
sure.
How you came to be involved in this.
Sure. What happens is there are basically two different forms of Ho'oponopono, and there are variations of the form. But the traditional Ho'oponopono requires people to be physically present. It requires that a senior member, it could be Kahuna or somebody, be present. And then the process is that everybody has to ask everybody else for forgiveness. So it requires being physically there, and it requires having somebody, a so-called senior member. But the process that we teach is just between you and God. So you don't need to have anybody intervene for you. You don't have to have anybody present to make a correction, because the problem is not with people. The problem is with memories that we have of people. It's the Kant philosophy where the philosopher is saying it's not the person that's the problem. It's your perception of the person. And so the Ho'oponopono that Morna teaches is a process of looking inside and say, what's going on in me that I need to let go, that I experience at the world? So I took this process in 1982 because I was interested. I was trained to help other people, but after doing that for 10, 20 years, it didn't work. And so I said, there must be another way. Otherwise, I'm just going to burn out, because the process of helping people always results in burnout. So Morna showed up in my life. I learned how to do this process. And so it's a process of my only working on whatever is going on me, and because it's not people, not me. It's the memories that I have to work on. That's what needs to be corrected. Yeah.
Yes, and I loved how you just said, when I showed up in my life.
Yeah. You know, life is a mystery. One of the things I learned a long time ago, and it was kind of a painful sort of experience, and I finally came to realization that at some point I didn't know. And because I didn't know, I couldn't get out of the hole. And so this process is, you're saying, I don't know, but something's going on me, and the divinity who created me knows, and I'm going to dialogue with divinity, and I'm simply going to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and then allow the divinity to do whatever, which is basically to erase memories, to release souls, and so what is left in its place is zero. So you're back to your original state of mind, which is in the image of God, and that is zero and infinite. Yeah.
Yes. I recently read in your newsletter that you say you were trained to be a Don Quixote educator.
Yeah.
Develop that a little bit for us.
What happens is that this Don Quixote by Cervantes is really a kind of a story of all human beings. So the most important part of that book, for example, is the last chapter, where he finally comes to realization, my God, I don't need to save anybody. I need to save my soul. And so I was trained to be like Don Quixote and get out there and save people, but it doesn't work. What works ultimately is one realizing that the world is within oneself, and to change the world, you have to change it inside, and to change whatever you have going on in you requires 100% responsibility. And so our process is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and allow the divinity to do whatever, when, whatever, without any expectations. Yeah.
In using that phrase, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I do get what can go on with that, but it seems like there would be such a thing where people would want to just get into the sort of mental, emotional aspect of that and not really embody it, because if you just say over and over and over again, does it work? If just by saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, or does a transformation...
If one is at zero, that is the original state of mind, one would not even deal with any of those. And so the only bottom line is, at some point, each one of us has to come to some realization that the world is really what is going on in us. And for us, the process is, for example, one of the processes is to say to oneself when a pain comes up, I love you. Whatever is going on in me that I feel this pain, I love you. And so that I love you is a process, it's built into I love you, the process of repentance and forgiveness. And that's your responsibility. The divinity's responsibility is to say, I heard you, and then I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to erase it, but I'm going to erase it when I feel it's right and perfect to do that. And so my job is very simple. Take 100% responsibility for whatever is going on in me, and divinity will do whatever that needs to be done. If I knock, it'll open. If I ask, I will receive. Yeah.
Right. I guess my point was that doing the mantra wasn't the thing that was going to do it. I need forgiveness, or forgive me, please.
Yeah,
you know.
But if you say to somebody, like here in Los Angeles, we have what we call Los Angeles itis, and that is one of the processes we teach is to say to yourself, I love you, but more specifically to whatever it is that's going on in you. And most of the time, we don't know what that is. We just feel kind of low, and the idea is to say, I love you. And so here in Los Angeles, but you get the intellect will say, well, do you have to mean it? Well, you don't have to mean anything. All you have to do is do it. And in doing it, we have people who have had lives shift, arthritis goes, having to deal with cancer go, having to deal with lots of problems go. But the intellect is very ferocious. It's always trying to analyze, cope, manage, and it just doesn't work. Yeah.
That's very true. You speak about the co-managing. So many people in the New Age movement talk about co-creating their lives.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, the only thing you ever notice is every time there's a problem, you're always there. Yeah, that's what I find out for myself. Like, I'm getting ready to go to Hawaii. I'm already cleaning to make sure I'm saying to Divinity in advance, whatever is in my past that I will experience, I would like to propose in this cleaning that if it's correct, any of that be canceled before I head for the Los Angeles airport, before I get on the air, so that I don't have jet lag. No matter where I go in the world, I don't experience jet lag. Yeah, because hopefully I'm taking responsibility and can't blame the time lag, because we're into blame all the time. And so I'm trying to let that go, but I'm still stuck in it. Yeah.
Right. Well, there is a point where we take things personally, and it always will trip us up. And I'm wondering what you found in this. There's a point between taking something personally, whether it's something from another person or something we're doing in our own mind, and then having total responsibility as well.
See, nobody exists but in your mind. In other words, when I'm listening to you, I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to my reaction of you. So I'm responsible to clear anything that's in me. So whatever flows comes out of love, and it doesn't come out of memory, which is a reaction. So my only responsibility is in preparing in being with you is to be 100% responsible to clean up anything that's going on that I'm not even aware of. For example, at any given minute, out of 11 million bits of information in the subconscious activated, we're only aware of 15 to 20 bits. I mean, I can't imagine making decisions on 15 to 20 bits when there are 11 million going on. So my job is to say, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to travel. I'm going to take 100% responsibility, and I do the process. Yeah.
Yes. Now, I know you do this work as a healing process, yes?
I do the work so that I can get back to my original state of being, which is zero.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah.
And in order to speak about it, you will work with other people and...
No. I just work on myself.
Right. But other people are present.
No. Well, for example, I'm going to be visiting my two daughters when I go to Hawaii. I'm already working on whatever thoughts I have of them so that when I show up, I don't show up as a dad, but I show up as somebody who loves them.
Yes, I understand that. And in trying to speak about it for our audience, you mentioned earlier in the interview that it's amazing what can happen to arthritises and cancers and all kinds of maladies that go on for people in this world.
Yeah.
So is this the type of thing where there are workshops where someone would learn how to do this for themselves? But you are active in a way of assisting people in this process, are you not?
Give me for an example.
Okay, well, okay, there's someone with a cancer.
Yeah, but that person maybe, for example, I have a case of a family who has a child has been labeled autistic. That child's in Pennsylvania. That child doesn't have to physically be here.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you say you're being in yourself and it may assist this child?
No, I'm not assisting the child. The child's perfect. What I'm looking at when the mama calls me or emails me, I have to say to myself, what's going on in me that, first of all, the mother should call me? What is going on in me that the mother is telling me about this child? So then the question has to be, what's going on in me? What is in me that I need to correct so that this situation will change?
Exactly. But with you doing that, you do see the ripples from the wave.
I'm not sure I see that. I have to be honest with you. I just do my cleaning, leave it in the cleaning hand, and move on. And at some point, if the mother calls me back, she'll say, "Well, he's a little easier. He's not so wild today, and I have this concern." And so, when the mother's talking to me, I'm because the mother, my reaction to the mother is my experience of the mother, not the mother herself. The mother's perfect. The child's perfect. It's my reaction that I need to work on. In me, nothing exists. And as I'm talking to you, you don't exist. Except as my reaction to you. You can't exist. And that's the hard one for most people to get, is that you're not in a relationship with another person. You're in a reaction to the other person. And if you let go of that reaction, you get to see that person as God sees that person, whole and complete. So I'm cleaning, so at some point, this boy that is so-called autistic, I get to see what this child is really, what God created this child for. Yeah.
Now, what is it like when you do your workshops for people?
It's very simple. The major information that's provided is simply saying to people that all of your problems are intra. It's not inter. So that if you're willing only to look at yourself and work on whatever's going on in you, then you have this ability to petition the divinity to cancel problems which are just memories replaying. And the wonder of it all, if it gets canceled in you, it gets canceled everywhere in the universe. Everywhere. So you're not working. I'm teaching people they're not working on themselves per se. They're working on the memories that take them away from being who they are. And in working on themselves, they get this ability then to see other people as God created them. So we teach people who they are. The most basic question, who am I? So we talk about the architecture of the mind. We talk about the mind when it's free. We talk about the mind when it's in flow. We talk about the mind when the mind is in disease. And then we show people how they can petition divinity to release the disease so they can be back into zero. And then from zero, automatically, they get inspired, the right talent, move them,
In speaking about the architecture of the mind, the beauty of it is that, as you mentioned earlier, we don't need to know the specifics.
Absolutely. That's what drives the intellect crazy. I think I think if I did several classes are in Vancouver, in Charlotte, in Philadelphia, in Washington, D.C. The intellect is ferocious. It wants to know.
I know. Well, in certain circumstances, I just feel like I go, oh, thank you, ego. Thank you, mind. You're doing a great job at what you do, but I'm not going with you anymore.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And there's another way to help the intellect. Is simply say to the intellect, I love you. As soon as you begin to say to the intellect, I love you, it begins to settle down.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you are really mythic in proportion in a lot of ways.
I'm sorry?
I've read a lot about you, and stories about you are making you sort of mythic even here in your lifetime.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I'm human, and I got lots of problems. I mean, I got lots of problems. I'm working on every day. This morning I got a soreness in my left elbow, so I'm working on that. I have a family history, my mama and my papa, and my ancestors have histories of diabetes and heart problems, so I work on that. People call me hysterically. I mean, in hysterics, I get to work on that. So I just notice that every time there's a problem, I'm always there.
All right.
It's a nonstop.
Well, it's been an honor, I believe, in your life to be able to work with places like the UN.
I'm sorry?
What kind of work? I hear that you've done some work in the UN.
Yes. Yes. Basically, what Morn and I did it together in the 80s. Basically, our meeting or our lecture, the class we did at the United Nations, is simply to say to people, you're 100% responsible for whatever's going on. And teaching them how they can let go and change the world in them, and the whole world changes. Yeah, it's a hard row to hoe.
I know it's tough to say that every minute, all the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the
same. How about every second?
Yeah, I understand.
I have a bet with a friend of mine years and years ago in Washington D.C. She offered me. Hot Fudge Sunday, if I could get through a day without any kinks, it'll never happen. I'll never get I'll never win that bet on a Hot Fudge Sunday, but I eat one anyway.
I was just going to say, I hope you've gotten your own.
Yeah, I love Boulder. I went to school there,
Yeah, that's what you've said.
Yeah.
Well, how... Are you finding, I mean, it's interesting that there are so many Ho'oponopono workshops going on all over the place. Is it just the timing, you think?
Are you talking about in our organization?
Well, in your organization, but it just is becoming, other people are becoming more and more aware of Ho'oponopono, I believe.
Yes.
It's getting larger and larger.
Yeah. And again, there are different schools of it, so,
And can you speak a little bit of the differences?
Yeah, the difference, again, is the way we teach it is that you're 100% responsible, and you can then petition divinity. That's part of the architecture of the mind. Divinity is you, part of you and you, and so you can talk to divinity moment to moment by saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Or it's the traditional Ho'oponopono, you have to have a middle person. You have to say to the person, can you tell my mother I'm sorry? And the person will say, well, you can. So you need people there. You need a middleman. But this process, you can go directly to God.
Well, that's the way it needs to be done.
Sorry?
That is the way it needs to be done.
Yeah, that's why they're going to put people like us out of business. If people get more responsible, the whole field of therapy will shift. Because to be very honest, by the time therapists are out of school 4 or 5 years into, whether they're psychologists or otherwise, they're gone. They're burned. And so nothing, unless you're taking good care of yourself, it's a sacrifice. Yeah.
That's very true. And I think it's okay that that's happening because it doesn't work.
What doesn't work?
therapy ultimately doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work because you're working on the wrong thing, yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, that's your responsibility and mine. So when people talk to me that whether they're a psychiatrist or another kind of therapist, I don't say it's wrong. I just do my cleaning, yeah?
Of course.
I mean, who am I? I have problems of my own. Why am I judging other people? Yeah.
Really? Here's a guy with a sore elbow trying to tell me what to do.
Yeah, I remember my daughter used to say to me, Dad, listen, hello, you should look at yourself. Good idea. Yeah. Do you have snow on the ground there?
Not at the moment.
Did I tell you that in August there was a snowstorm in Boulder?
I believe you.
Yeah, oh no. We came out of Fort Collins and all of a sudden hail started to hit and it went on for about 15, 20 minutes. And as we drove to Boulder, there were people in shorts and and snow and white all over the place.
Right. Well, we have to wear our flip-flops, all year long around here.
Yeah.
So what's changed for you the most, would you say, in your years of doing Ho'oponopono?
Probably more in love with God.
Mm-hmm.
Simply going, wow. I mean, being more and more in love and appreciative of the divinity in me.
It's so amazingly freeing.
I'm sorry?
It's so amazingly freeing because we don't have to think about anything.
Yeah, not only is it freeing, you get to... You get to be awed. You run into people who have had problems for literally forever. I have a gal who's from Colombia, and she had like arthritis or tendons. And then, you know, like 2 or 3 years ago, she took the class. No arthritis. I mean, you're awed by the fact what can happen if one is 100% responsible. But mostly for me, it's just falling more and more in love with God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I love that it's a role reversal because originally people think about responsibility as being something very heavy.
Yeah.
And yet when you are allowing that full responsibility, it's the total opposite.
Oh, it's life-saving. You shift your whole experience so that life becomes less drudgery, less, you know, the suffering. Really, I've watched hundreds and hundreds of people across my 20-something years of teaching them. You're just awed by them, and it always comes back to God. You go, wow, I mean, I'm impressed with what you can do.
It was really a good system he set up, eh?
Yeah, I'm going, wow, it makes my work easy. I don't have to, you know. So one of the things my children noticed, and this is years and years. When, like, I'm going to get together with them in Hawaii, there's not very much discussion about problems, yeah? Because I'm cleaning now, so when I show up, it's like we're having a huge picnic at the restaurant.
Yeah, and then there's more time for surfing.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be on the Big Island. I once lived in the volcano area, so going home, I'm going to get a chance to walk the volcano, yeah?
Wonderful.
But I love Boulder too. When I first got there from Hawaii, I had no idea that there were going to be a time in the month in the year where I could stand out in the middle and have the sun shine on me and still be cold.
Well, that's still happening here, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, you are just such a lovely man, and I appreciate that.
You're such a sweetheart to allow me to visit with you. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Many thanks to Dr. Hugh Len. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. And for podcasting on iTunes, Tributaries Radio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.